I'm going to read from the 11th chapter of 1 Corinthians. And I brought a message from this same passage, and in part the same message that I'll bring to you this morning, but maybe not in a very big part. I may go in a little different direction. Up at Chilliwack in the camp meeting last June up there. But there were some of you folks that were up there and heard that message. You'll probably recognize it again. But I hope you and all the rest will pray that the Lord will help us to get out of it what we should get out of it. I'll begin reading with verse 23. 11th chapter of 1 Corinthians. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. It's reading from verse 23 through verse 30, the 11th chapter of 1 Corinthians. Now here is a clear outline of the Lord's Supper. That's what we call it, the Lord's Supper. It's sometimes called the communion service. But it is a clear outline of this, and Paul said that he received it from the Lord. And we have Jesus giving instruction about this in the 26th chapter of Matthew and other places. Jesus himself gave instructions about this. Now these folks were doing this, doing what they had been commanded to do, but they went right ahead and died anyway. Just withered and died. Well, we may wonder, how could a person keep the commandments and do the things he's instructed to do in God's Word and go ahead and die? Well, the secret of it is given here. He said, for this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep, because they didn't discern something. In other words, they were doing this, but they didn't discern what it meant. They didn't discern what was involved in it. Now, God wants you and me to be sincere about what we're doing and to be earnest in it. And it is to our advantage to be able to discern why we're doing what we do. Some folks do like saints do just because that's the way saints do. But they don't know why they do it. They have no discernment of why, what it means, and consequently they receive little or no blessing in their lives. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep, because they didn't discern something. In this case, what they did not discern was the Lord's body. And this whole communion service or Lord's Supper revolves right around the Lord's body and what the Lord's body accomplished for us. The Lord's body brought salvation to us. In the breaking of His body and shedding of His blood, salvation came down to us. It's through merits in the shed blood of the Son of God, and that only, that brings the forgiveness of our sins and obtains salvation for us. We cannot, however we live, whatever we do, however charitable we may be, we cannot make ourselves good enough to be saved. The only means of salvation is through faith in the merits of the shed blood of the Son of God, and not in anything that we did or didn't do. Sometimes people feel they're all right because they haven't done anything grossly evil, and they've taken good care of their families and didn't step out on their spouse and paid their bills and been a good neighbor and helped people and did many things along those lines, and they think they're all right. They're good moral people, which they are, but morality doesn't save people. Top-notch morality doesn't save people. The very best that you can do, that doesn't save you. It takes faith in the merits of the shed blood of the Son of God to obtain the forgiveness of our sins and salvation. It was the body of the Lord Jesus Christ that brought salvation to us. But they didn't discern the Lord's body. There are two schools of thought here. I agree with both of them. Some question whether this, in this case, refers to the physical sacrificial body of the Lord, or whether it refers to His spiritual body. Now, I agree with both viewpoints here. We must, if we obtain salvation, we must discern the sacrificial body of the Lord, that it was a special body. He said in the 10th chapter of Hebrews, a body thou hast prepared me. And it was a special body, begotten through the operation of the Holy Ghost, by the Highest Himself, and born of a virgin. Now we must believe that. We must comprehend that in order to have any salvation in Him. If Jesus were not born of a virgin, or if He were not begotten of God through the operation of the Holy Ghost, if He came by natural means, then He would have been a partaker of the depravity of nature that all the rest of us were, and He wouldn't have been a suitable sacrifice for sin. He couldn't have obtained salvation for us through His sacrifice. There's a large percentage of modernistic preachers today that deny the virgin birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. They don't believe it had ever happened that way. Well, I'm perfectly safe in saying there's no salvation in their churches. And there is no salvation in their ministry, in the messages that they bring. We must believe that Jesus was a special man, a God-man, begotten of God, the only begotten Son of God, and born of a virgin without any man attached, in order to obtain salvation through faith in Him. Then there's the spiritual body of Christ, the body of believers, saints, people that are saved through faith in the merits of His shed blood, to which when we are attached, we draw from it edification and comfort and grace and support and strength that we could not possibly obtain anywhere else or from any other source. I do not say that there are not people that are saved out there wherever they may be. I read the book, Deeper Experiences of Famous Christians, and it was an eye-opener to me. And there were accounts of people in there, Savin Rowland, Madam Guy, and others, that right down in the depth of the Dark Ages, and them prominent people in the Roman Catholic Church, they sought and obtained salvation and an experience of entire sanctification, and turned the world upside down. It was said of Savonarola that he just turned Italy upside down. He was renounced. People were warned against him. Everywhere he went up and down Italy, there was notices out, "Don't listen to Savonarola." But it just drew the people to him. Multitudes came. Now that was an eye-opener to me, so I've concluded that anywhere that people will meet the conditions and come to terms with God, they can be saved. But there is a certain strength and support and grace and edification that they get through being attached to the true body of Christ that they don't get anywhere else. Now he says, "For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep." Dead. Just died dead. Through a failure to discern the body of Christ. They were doing this. They were commanded to do it. But they were not receiving the essence and edification and strength out of it that it was calculated to bring to them, because they didn't discern what was involved in it. Now the message that I bring you this morning That was that case. We have our cases. And anything that any of us fail to discern of God's will and plans and purposes for us just weakens us just that much. We would be just that much better off if we discerned that. The scripture says in 2 Timothy the 3rd chapter in verses 16 and 17 that all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect and thoroughly furnished unto all good works. When you and I learn our way around in the Word of God and learn to rightly divide the Scriptures and apply them to our lives in this area and in that area, we're going to be much blessed and built up and edified and strengthened in our experience and in our faith much more than before we discern those truths. If it's a truth that is a correction to correct me on course, when I come to a knowledge of it, it's going to help me in my course, setting my course, running my race. If it is a scripture that is rebuking me for something that I have in my life or something that I'm doing, it'll rein me up short and cause me to consider this thing I'm doing. And in getting rid of that and putting that out of my life, it's going to bless my life. If it's some instruction in righteousness, I accept it, I discern it, I apply it to the area that it belongs, and I'm going to be more righteous in God's sight. If it's a reproof, I'll be corrected by it. Thoroughly furnished unto every good work. In the 5th chapter of Ephesians and verse 13, he says, light whatsoever maketh manifest is light. For light makes manifest. Light shows up things. Man told me about going hunting. And they got there late in the evening and made their camp and didn't see any of the surroundings. And he was awake early in the morning and day was just beginning to break. Light was just beginning to come. He saw something off over there, but he couldn't tell what it was. It wasn't light enough for him to tell what it was. He stood there and kept his eye on that and watched as it got lighter. And when it got lighter, he saw it was a number, just a good number of deer grazing over there. He had several fellows with him, I think four besides himself. When it got to where he could see, and he saw what was over there, he started shooting, and 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, he just shot down 5 deer there, filled everybody's tags. They scolded him good and said they didn't get to hunt. But he got to where he could see anyhow. Folks, we need to get to where we can see things. And that we can have a proper understanding of God's Word and discern the truth. Any discerning of truth will be a help to our lives. And there are things in our lives that God cannot bless us with like He could bless us without. They may not be charged against us as sin because of our lack of understanding of them, and yet God can't bless us with those things in our lives like He could bless us without those things in our lives. Therefore, it would be to our advantage if we could see the thing and humble ourselves and consecrate to God and get rid of the thing that's in our lives. God's blessings would be richer upon us. Spiritual vision's what we need. A broad, deep spiritual perspective. Be able to see things in a true light. But in order to do it, we must have our hearts and minds wide open to God and submitted to Him. There's no point in God revealing truth to my heart if I have no intention to walk in that truth when He reveals it to me and measure up to it. There'd be no point in that. But if I've got my heart and mind wide open to God with a consecration and dedication to Him to do His will and measure up to every bit of truth that He reveals to my soul, I'll find Him revealing things to me. You will too. That's the way we live for God. There are privileges that we could all be enjoying if we just knew what they were. If our spiritual vision enveloped all of the privileges that God has provided. He says, "Fear not, little flock, it's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." And when He gives to you and me the kingdom, He gives us everything that pertains to the kingdom, everything in it. But I have to see it to enjoy it. There are many privileges that we could be enjoying right along if we just knew they were for us. Knew they existed. If we were just letting God lead us on into deeper and greater things of God. We don't enjoy some things because we don't know we have a right to enjoy them. Anything we fail to discern of God's will and plans and purposes for us, it just robs us that much. And weakens us that much. Now this little illustration that I will give, it's standard equipment. You've probably heard it numbers of times from numbers of preachers and maybe from me at different times. But the story is told of a man that was going to make a voyage across the ocean on a ship. And he didn't have much money, and it took just about all the money he had to pay his fare. Well, he got his fare paid, and then he figured he wouldn't be able to be going to the table and eating with the other passengers. He didn't have the money. So he bought him some cheese and crackers and and put it in his cabin, and when the dinner gong would ring, everybody was going into the dining room to eat, he'd go down to his cabin and munch on his cheese and crackers. That's the way he made his trip. Just a day or two before he got across, he learned that when he paid his fare, he paid for his meals too. He could have been going to the table all the time, just enjoying all the good things they had prepared there for their passengers, but he didn't know it. Just the last day or two, he got good meals. Just made it through on cheese and crackers the rest of the time. Are you a cheese and cracker Christian? Is that the way you're living out your life? Are you just munching on dry crackers and stale cheese? The fare has been paid for banquet every time. He led me into his banqueting hall, Solomon said. In the Songs of Solomon said he brought me into his banqueting hall. His banner over me was love. Plenty of abundance supplied, but that man didn't know it, that he had a right to it. And we've got many Christians and a few saints, maybe, going through life just like that. Plenty of glorious abundance supplied for them in every phase and area of their lives, but they don't know it. And they're just going through on dry crackers and stale cheese. God's got better things for us than that if we can just acquire a spiritual vision and perspective that will take in the wonderful provisions of God for us. Brother Shute told an experience about going to a town. He got in there after night and went to a hotel. He said it was balmy and nice, and never occurred to him he might need some extra cover before morning. He never made any investigation about that. He went on to bed, but it come up a norther in the night, and it turned cold, and the wind was blowing, and he got cold, and he said he just drew his little blanket around him tight, and he drew up in a knot, and he turned one way and another, and he ached and he hurt, and he had a miserable time till light began to break. And when it did, he looked right over there, and right at his fingertips, lying folded up on a chair, was a nice down comforter that would just have met all of his need. Kept him good and warm and comfortable right on through the night, but he couldn't see it. He didn't know it. Folks, the good news I'm telling you this morning is that we don't have to serve God in misery. And we don't have to go through this life on short rations. God has provision made for us to enlarge us and to extend our borders and to supply us abundantly with everything that we need. He says, my God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Let us believe that. Let us face life on that basis. Whatever I need, whenever I need it, it'll be right there. I say, you've heard me say numbers of times that we don't know the future. We can't read the future 1 hour ahead. But we know who holds the future. And in that confidence, we face our future, walk boldly into it, feeling and assured that when we get there, God will be there and have everything under control. Whatever you need, whenever you need it, it's all supplied. Spirit spiritual perspective, spiritual vision is what we need. And it would help us a great deal. In the 60th chapter of Isaiah, in the 5th verse, he says, "Then they shall see and flow together, and they shall fear, and their hearts shall be enlarged." Did you know that proper spiritual perspective has a great deal to do with our togetherness? I heard somebody say a while back that a person cannot live right until he believes right. And I'm inclined to accept that, at least in part, because God's Word said that He had chosen us to obtain salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and believing the truth. It is believing the truth that is going to set us on course and teach us how to live. God's Word is given for correction and instruction in righteousness, for reproof and rebuke and for doctrine, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. The psalmist said in 119 Psalm, verse 18, this is a prayer. God, help us all pray this. Help this be in all of our hearts. He said, "Lord, open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law." Folks, they're there. There are many wondrous, great, magnificent, marvelous things in His law. We just need our eyes open. Need scales falling off of our eyes, that we may be able to see and behold the wonderful things that there are in the law of God. The truth itself and our experience of it may be likened to food. It isn't the food that you eat that strengthens you. It's the food that you digest and assimilate up into your system that provides the strength for every part of your body that you need. Food that lies in the stomach undigested and unassimilated, it can breed disease instead of strength and nourishment. Truth may do the same thing for us if we fail to understand it. It isn't the truth that we know, but it's the truth that we assimilate and absorb, build into our souls, accept into our hearts, that'll bless our lives. An understanding of the truth, discerning the truth, spiritual perspective is a highly important thing. We read in the 106th Psalm, verse 7, it says, concerning the Israelites, that they understood not God's wonders in Egypt, and they forgot His mercies and provoked Him at the Red Sea. The Red Sea wasn't very far from Egypt. They hadn't gone far, but they'd already forgotten. And the reason they forgot is they didn't understand. They failed to discern. They did not perceive the workings of God and what it was all about. They understood not thy wonders in Egypt and forgot your mercies and provoked you at the Red Sea. It's easy for us to forget if we don't understand. Solomon prayed. When God asked him what he wanted, he's going to give him anything he asked for. He said, just give me an understanding heart to know how to judge these people. Folks, let that be our desire, to have an understanding heart, to be able to understand the truth, discern the truth, its application to our lives, accept it and receive it into our souls and absorb it up into our spiritual systems, that we might be strengthened and edified by it. The clock's going around there. I'm just barely started. Lord willing, I'll be back here again someday. That's one advantage I have in preaching at home, but I don't have away from home. So I don't get through today, I can come back and work on it some more another day. When I'm off out there, I can't do that. Well, Lord willing, I'll be back here someday, because I think this is a very important part of our success in Christian living.